السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وأنفقوا في سبيل الله ولا تلقوا بأيديكم إلى التهلكة وأحسنوا إن الله يحب المحسنين، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله، the فضل كرم and إحسان of الله تعالى، Allah Rabbul Izzat has allowed for us to gather here in His house. Allah Rabbul Izzat is allowing for us to make some mudhakara of some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. So the first thing is we rectify our niyyah that we are here solely and only for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Secondly, we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat makes this program a means of our hidayat, a means of us being blessed with the love of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, true fikr, true sincere fikr for our iman, our deen. Allah Ta'ala blesses us with akhlaq-i hamida, praiseworthy, noble qualities, and Allah Ta'ala removes from us the raza'il, the evil qualities, base qualities. When we want to get connected with Allah Ta'ala, everybody is looking for connections. Some people, they make connections too. Anybody they meet, start talking to them, and they say, no, we connections. We connected somehow. And every one of us, we are connected. We come from one father, one mother. So somewhere along the line, there is some connection. And then there is a spiritual connection, that we are all the ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But over and above that, people look for other connections also. And then you get the cell phone companies, they say they are the better connection. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say that these cell phone companies, they say they are a better connection. But so many times there's no connection. And at the end of the month, when you get the bill, to peshani par bal a jayega. Hazrat used to say that. So when you get the bill, then on your forehead there'll be bal, meaning perspiration, when you see the bill. But Allah Ta'ala, at all times, any moment, any second, the connection with Allah Ta'ala is open. A person can talk to Allah Ta'ala at any time, in any posture. He can communicate with Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't even give any bill at the end of the month. No matter how much a person wants to talk to Allah Ta'ala, there's no bill at the end of the month. In fact, Allah Ta'ala becomes more and more pleased when we talk to Allah Ta'ala, when we beg Allah Ta'ala, we ask Allah Ta'ala for things. Whether they are of the dunya, whether they are of the akhirat, Allah Ta'ala becomes more and more pleased. When we don't beg of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala gets displeased. Insan is the opposite. Hazrat used to say that insan, if you ask of insan one time, two time, after that you get fed up. But Allah Ta'ala, the more we beg of Allah Ta'ala, the more pleased Allah Ta'ala becomes. When we don't beg of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will get displeased with us. So obviously when we want to build that connection, the ta'alluq ma'Allah, then we have to respect Allah Ta'ala. We have to realize the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. And one of the ways of respecting Allah Ta'ala is to respect the house of Allah Ta'ala. Today, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala has been decreased so much in our hearts. We can't decrease the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. But in our hearts, we have decreased so much that our realization of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, that forget the ordinary masajid, even in front of the Baytullah, we don't respect Allah Ta'ala. Right in front of the Kaabatullah, we don't respect Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say that just few meters away from the Baytullah, in the rooms, the filthiest of things can be seen on the TV screens. And just a few meters away from the Roza Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the filthiest of things can be seen. Today is happening in the Haram Sharif. In the Haram Sharif. In Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People are sitting with their cell phones. Right there, but there is no connection with Allah Ta'ala. Mothers are carrying the tablets and the apples and whatever, and giving the children, no, you play games, you watch YouTube, you watch movies while I can read. In the Haram Sharif this is happening. People remain in the Haram not out of love for Allah Ta'ala, but as a matter of convenience. That now to go out, it's a big story now, lot of crowd and everything, and then to come back in is more of a taklif for me. It's more of a taklif for me. So I'd rather just sit around here. So when I'm sitting in the Haram, I'm not sitting out of love for Allah Ta'ala. I'm not sitting because I want to talk to Allah Ta'ala. I'm sitting because of my physical convenience. So while I'm sitting there for my physical convenience, then I talk to my best friend, the devil in my pocket. That comes out. And then everything starts from there. So the training will start at home. When we will start respecting the masajid that we attend, the masajid that we go to for our salah, for programs, jamaat, whatever, bayans, we start showing respect there. Then the respect will grow when we go to Haram Sharif, when we go to Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Abdul Haq Magda sahab, down barakatuhu, every now and again he speaks about this. That we're walking, we're coming to the masjid, but there too we're talking with friends, there too we're busy with our cell phone. We're making wuzu also, we have the banter doesn't stop. We come right into the masjid also, the talking doesn't stop. Salam must just take place, the talking started. Sometimes azan is being, we're still talking. So now one is, we ourselves, we're not respecting Allah Ta'ala. And on the other hand, those who are trying to make some ibadat, they're trying to read some salah or make dua or whatever, now we're disturbing them also. So we also, we don't want to get connected with Allah Ta'ala. And then we want to be an obstruction for others also. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say that, Ya Allah, we are standing at the door of Islam. We are standing at the door of Islam. we ourselves, we're not entering. In other words, we're not making amal properly. And then we're blocking the entrance, we're not allowing anybody else also to come inside. So we must be very, very careful in the masajid. When we go to the masjid, go with adab. Go with this intention. Hazrat Magda Sahib mentions this. That you are coming to, I'm going to meet my Allah. If you make your mindset like that, then I got a very important meeting. I'm going to meet my Allah. Now the behavior in the masjid will be different. But when we take it like a casual thing, and we are still talking, one way. So this is unhealthy. This is unhealthy. We must respect the house of Allah Ta'ala. The more we respect the azan, respect the Quran Sharif, the more the greatness of Allah Ta'ala will come in our heart. So this ayat kareema that we recited, Allah Rabbul Izzat mentions in the Quran Sharif, وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Spend in the way of Allah. Spend in the path of Allah. Spend in the way of Allah. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. And do not throw yourselves into destruction. Do not throw yourselves into destruction. وَأَحْسِنُوا. And do good. Be good in all matters. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Verily Allah Ta'ala loves those who are good in all matters. So to understand this ayat-e kareema, Imran rahimahullah, he mentions that when we were facing the Roman army in Constantinople, what is today known as Turkey. So when we were facing the Roman army, they had mustered a very huge army, the Romans, very, very huge army. At that time, the governor of Egypt was Sayyiduna Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu. And the governor of Sham was Fudala rahmatullah alayhi. So he says that we're facing this army. The army was a very big army. They're all, you know, armed and everything. We also had a good army, but from an asbab point of view, nowhere near their asbab. So one mujahid from the Muslim army, he went for the Romans alone, single-handed. He went and he broke through all their ranks. Every saf of theirs, he penetrated every row. So obviously as he's penetrating, he's dispatching also, right? Dispatching people to Jahannam as he's penetrating one saf, another saf. Right? And he made it back to the Muslim army. So he went right through them and he made it back to the Muslim army. So when he went, people started saying that this is a foolish thing he's doing. People in the Muslim army, they're saying this is a foolish thing he's doing. I mean, how can you, this is like suicidal now, right? I'm talking in our terms, they didn't use that language. You're going into that army, such a strong army, alone you're going. How are you going to come out of there alive? So they started commenting that this is a foolish thing that he did. And then somebody read this ayat-e kareema. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't throw yourselves into destruction. That is destruction now. You're throwing yourself into destruction. On this, we will realize why it is so important that we can't just read a translation of the Quran Sharif and think that whatever is our understanding, that is what the Quran Sharif is referring to. You can't take the literal translation of the verses of the Quran Sharif and go by that. You have to check what tafsir did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam make. What tafsir did the Sahaba radiallahu anhum make? What tafsir did the Tabi'een make? All the senior mufassirin of the Ummah. What tafsir did they make of this ayat? Then also, a person needs to know in certain instances that when was this ayat revealed? Was this ayat revealed first? Or another ayat was revealed first and this ayat was revealed second? Because the Quran Sharif was not revealed in the order that we recite it. So the Mufassir, he needs to know all of this. Then there is another subject matter in tafsir which is known as Sababun Nuzul. Sababun Nuzul, this refers to the incident surrounding the revelation of that ayat. Now when a person understands the incident surrounding the revelation of the ayat, then the person will understand the ayat in context. Not to say that the hukam in that ayat is confined to that incident. No. The hukam will be general. But a person will understand the siyaq of the kalam. The person will understand the context of that ayat. So when somebody read this ayat and they said that this person, Allah Pak says in the Quran Sharif, that don't throw yourself into destruction. And now this person, he has thrown himself into destruction. So what, in other words, what he was saying is what this person did is wrong. So Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anh, he was present there in his old age. In his old age, he was present there. And he said that don't quote that ayat. If you want to know what is the meaning of this ayat, then ask us, the Ansar radiallahu anhum. Because this ayat was revealed with regards to us. So we will know what is the meaning of this ayat. And then he went on to explain. He said that from the time Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to Madinah Munawwara, so I'm talking in our language, I'm just giving you the mafhum of what he said, that from the time Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Madinah Munawwara, we stood by him, like how we say, through thick and thin, you know, all halat, all conditions, we stood by him. We didn't pay attention to our children as much as we paid attention, not to say they didn't make their tarbiyat, but as much attention they paid to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't even pay that much attention to their own children. We didn't pay attention to our businesses. We didn't pay attention to our homes. We didn't pay attention to our orchards. Nothing. Everything got neglected. The only thing, the only mission was that we have to stand at the side of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and establish this deen of Allah ta'ala. So this wasn't for few months, 3 days, 40 days, 10 days, 1 year, 6 year, Adim Kosno. This continued for years and years and years. So he says, eventually, Allah Rabbul Izzat made Islam ghalib. Islam now was powerful. It was no more that there were just a few Muslims downtrodden, being oppressed, persecuted, all that. No. Islam now became ghalib. Right? Islam was now a force to reckon with. And there was no immediate threat now to the Muslim. Nobody can just take a chance now with the Muslim Ummah. Right? So we, the Ansar, we had a mashwara. We sat down, we're talking. And we said that, see, in other words, we served our time. We served our time. We fulfilled our pledge. When we invited Huzur e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come, so we gave him the assurance. We gave Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu the assurance. By zubani hal I'm talking. Right? That we gave them, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abbas radiallahu anhu, the assurance that we will protect Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will be by his side. And we stood true to our word. Right? But now Islam has triumphed. There's no real threat now. So now maybe it's time for us to take the back seat a little bit. There are enough mujahideen now, enough other people who can take part in the jihad, right? Our orchards are neglected, our businesses are neglected, our homes are neglected. So now we need to pay some attention to that also. Right? We need to sort those things out. So he says, on that occasion, when we were thinking like this, on that occasion, Allah Rabbul Izzat revealed this ayat kareema. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. In other words, you continue spending for the upliftment of Allah's deen. You continue going in jihad. You continue protecting the frontiers of the lands of the Muslim Ummah. You continue with this mission. وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. And do not throw yourselves into destruction. In other words, abandoning this or putting this now on a back burner in your life and now paying attention to your orchard, paying attention to your farm, paying attention to your business, paying attention to your home, this is destruction. This will be destruction. Your salvation, your success, the nusrat of Allah Ta'ala being there for you, this will continue for as long as you remain taking part in jihad. You remain fighting for the upliftment of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Then you won't be destroyed. But the moment you're going to sit back and say that I need to sort my dunya out, now you are throwing yourself into destruction. Now, we need to sit back and think that where do I fit in here? Where do I fit in here? Let us think, let us ponder. These kind of programs is for our Islam. It's for our reformation. So each one of us, I must be pondering, you must be pondering. Hazrat Muhammadul Haq Magda Sahib Naam Barakatu, he says, you must keep sweeping. Must keep sweeping. Everything we are hearing, I must check up now. I must check up. What's my situation? Right? If it's a weakness in me, I need to sweep it out now. I must get rid of it. So keep sweeping. Everything that is being spoken is for me. Not for the next person. It's for me. I must think. So let us ponder and let us ask ourselves that in my life, how much of my life, effort of my life, time of my life is spent for the upliftment of the deen of Allah Ta'ala? And how much of it am I allocating that, no man, you know, I have to sort my business out, I have to sort my house out, I have to do this, I have to do that. Right? Now, that's the first thought process that we have to give. Thought process number two. That in order to sort this dunya of mine out, how many laws of Allah Ta'ala am I breaking? How many laws of Allah Ta'ala am I compromising? And what I'm thinking, that no, you know what, no, I have to do this, otherwise what will happen to my business? I have to do that, otherwise what's going to happen? Right? That's the second thought process. The third thought process is, what am I doing with my children? My children, what am I doing with them now? I'm putting them in the same chakkar now. They are also going in the same mindset as myself. Right? See, this afternoon, one mother phoned me, right? So, her son used to be in the madrasa. The son was a bit slow of learning, but he was learning, but little slower pace than other students. The parents were getting impatient. Why they're getting impatient? They say, no, he has to go back to school. Now he's not finishing his heaps. Now how many years he's going to miss? Now if he misses 1 year, and if he's supposed to be now in grade 6, and he goes now, all his class boys are on grade 6, and he goes grade 5. So it's not too bad. But now if all his class is gone grade 8, grade 9, and he's going grade 5. So they were telling me that, you know what, now the school may not even allow now. He's going to be so old, and they won't even put him now in such a small class. So they were becoming impatient. So when it came towards the end of the year, so they took a decision that no, if he's not finished now by the end of this year, not this last year, whichever year it was. So they say, if he doesn't finish by that time, then we have to just take him out now. We already finished, put him into school, right? We finished enrolled him in school. Next year, he will go away to school. Right? So that's what happened. We tried speaking to them that, look, the child was crying. The child was crying, doesn't want to leave. He cried and went from here. He said, talk to my parents. They don't want to listen. They took him out. The mother phones, Moana, but this child only listened to you. This child now, he hasn't progressed. He is going for his class, but they're not opening his sabak. And he's not putting in the effort. And now what am I going to tell the mother? She says, you speak to him. He'll listen to you. He's here, I don't know why he's shy to talk to you. So she puts him on the line. So he comes, how you by this, that, alhamdulillah. Okay. Morana, I'm missing madrasa. I say, so come back. Morana, I want to come back. They're not allowing me. Allah Ta'ala make the child's hifazat. Allah Ta'ala make him a hafiz ba'amal. Bless him with the noor of the Quran. But I ask you, if a child who got this kind of a story behind him, not this particular child, any child who got this kind of a story behind him, that he wanted to go towards deen, and the parents, they're more worried about his dunya. They're worried about his world, that how he's going to earn, how he's going to do this, how he's going to do that. So he has to go in that direction. and they put him in that direction. For how long will he hold out? How long will he hold out in that vicious environment? Now, if that child has to go in the opposite direction, he has to take a path that's leading to Jahannam. What are those parents going to do? How are they going to answer to Allah Ta'ala? What job are they going to give to Allah Ta'ala? But this world has become so important to us that we prepare to compromise anything. As long as the child is excelling, we break family ties over this world. We stab one another in the back over this world. Partners in a business, sometimes you get partners in a business. Sometimes they are family, sometimes they are blood brothers also. They're busy trying to see now how I can get rid of that fellow. I can take the pie for myself. Over what? Over the world. The same thing which Allah Pak is telling us, that if you get immersed in this thing and you leave jihad, you're throwing yourself into destruction. Forget just doing it. How many laws of Allah Ta'ala are we breaking for that? How many people have stopped speaking to a family member, a brother? Forget brother, sometimes father. Just over some business matter. Just over some inheritance matter. Just over some... All to do with dunya. All to do with the world. Our disputes, our fights, our worries, all over the world. People even make ta'alluq with the mashayikh. The only time they really... our busy time coming, you make dua for us. No? Everything must go well. Eh? As long as the gari chal rahe hai, sab theek hai. But our deen, which direction is going, that we are not concerned. We are not concerned. We are going headlong into the same thing that's bringing our destruction. Right? Now when we look around us in the global arena, you see, when you in baby class, grade 1, grade 2, so you can't read small writing, you know. Small writing you can't read. So they write in big on the board. Big writing. So you can see it big properly. So sometimes we have to look on the big writing to understand something. The small writing we can't see because we're in baby class. So we have to see big writing. So when we look around us in a global arena, the big writing on the board, what do we see currently? Right. You see carnage, right? Carnage taking place in Gaza. Today I was reading one article. They say there is a bomb dropped every 4 minutes. Can you understand this? There's a bomb dropped every 4 minutes. Right? Around Gaza is all Muslim countries. All Muslim countries. Each one of them, they have a military. The gateway to Gaza is from Misr, from Egypt. The Rafah border, this is from Egypt, you're going into Gaza. Direct into Gaza, not even into what you call Jerusalem or anything. Direct into Gaza you mean. Egypt has got an army of 1 million soldiers. 1 million soldiers, Egypt. In fact, they say the military in Egypt is more wealthy than the government. The money, the president of Egypt, he too is a military man. Sisi, he's from the military. So they say the account of the military, just to put simple terms, the bank account of the military is more than the bank account of the government. The military owns properties, petrol stations, malls, everything in Egypt. The military owns. That's how wealthy the military is. Right? But they can do sweet nothing. The only thing they can do is stop those people who are trying to go help. That's what they can do. The only thing they can do is comply with the Jew boy's instructions. The other gateway into Palestine is Jordan. That's another, normally when people go, so they go to Jordan, from there they go into Palestine. They too got a very powerful army. In fact, if you go to Jordan, they got museums everywhere. And all they do in those museums is brag about their military prowess, brag about their tanks, brag about what fighter jets they got. And the bichara prince or king or whatever of Jordan, he maybe just check how smart he looks in his military outfit. That's as far as it goes. But what can they do? Nothing. Right? Absolutely nothing. Now like that, you can take each country that's surrounding them, and all can do nothing. Now why they can do nothing? Why they can do nothing? Because all of them have made a decision that our world is more important to us than the massacre of Muslims. Our currency rating is more important. Our currency must be healthy. That is more important to us than the deen of Allah Ta'ala, than the command of Allah Ta'ala. Because jihad is for us on those countries. They're all around there. If the people of the country themselves, they cannot defend themselves, then it becomes binding on those Muslims that are living closest. As far as on them, they're supposed to go to the assistance. And they cannot say that they don't have the manpower. They cannot say they don't have the wealth. They cannot say they don't have the asbab also. Allah gave them the asbab also. But they can't go. For the same reason that I cannot cancel my insurance policy. See? Their not going is their insurance policy. You see, you take out insurance with Santam and Old Mutual and don't know who and who. Somebody got unclothed somewhere, you know? Outsurance and insurance and all this thing. So people take out insurance with them. Right? These governments, who they take out insurance with? They take out their insurance is with the Jew boy himself. With America itself. Now I want you to think a little bit more. I want me to think and I want you to think. From Maktab days, right? From Maktab days, we are being taught this. That when Dajjal will come, so he will go to the people. Anybody who believes him, right? He will cause the rain to fall. Their meadows will be green. Their animals will be lush. In other words, those people will be living it up. Anybody who doesn't believe in him, they will have drought. they'll have no food, they'll be in destruction, they'll be in oppression, they'll be in problem. Right? So, is this small Dajjals, are they not doing the same thing? It's a build up. Allah Ta'ala is showing us. Allah Ta'ala is showing us, see, this is how it's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. Ahmad Ashara, he is going to shake Trump's hand, right? With what niyat, that's between him and Allah Ta'ala. But I'm just showing you how the dunya works, right? He just goes and meets with Trump in the presence of MBS, who doesn't have the interests of Islam and Muslims at heart, right? That fellow arranges the meeting. They meet over there. And immediately, the currency of Syria becomes strong. Almost doubled. Where if for $100, if you cashed $100 in Syria, you got 1 million Syrian pounds. Now if you cash $100 in Syria, you're only getting 500,000 Syrian pounds. So the value of the Syrian pound has doubled. It's gone strong overnight just because he shook his hand. Just because that fellow said that, no, I will uplift the sanctions. He didn't even uplift it as yet. There's nothing happening as yet. He just said, we will lift the sanctions. And then there's a lot of clauses under that also. If. But now there is jubilation on the streets of Syria. Right? Jubilee, everybody is happy, rejoicing, we are parting. Right? Why? Because they said they're lifting up the sanctions. So the lifting of the sanctions is going to sort out what? The dunya. Which, inshallah, is good for them. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala make it good for them. But what point I'm trying to explain to you is these are all this dujails. All the small Dajjals. Now this modus operandi of this, when Dajjal, when he will come, his will be so bad. These people, no matter what sanctions they do and whatever, still some food will filter through, still something will happen, right? But when that Dajjal will come, you will lose everything. Each and everything, there will be nothing. At that time, zikr will be the food. Zikrullah will be the food. So this Netanyahu, is he not doing that on a higher scale than anybody else, but obviously lower scale than Dajjal? That no food must go in. That these people, because they are not accepting us, no food must go inside. Is that not what Dajjal will do? So if we as an ummah, we can't start allowing knocks to take place in our dunya whenever it opposes our deen, then we are in a problem. We are in a problem. A person, Allah Ta'ala blesses him with a business. Allah Ta'ala blesses him with a motor car. Now he's taking out insurance. Right? He forgot who gave it. He's taking out insurance because what if something happens? I don't want to lose this thing. What if something happens? So it is going to happen. Whether we like it or not, Allah Ta'ala has promised he's going to test us. Everybody's test will be different. We beg Allah Ta'ala for afiyah. But we have to move away from this mentality of giving preference to the world. At least this step we must take. That if at any point, by me giving preference to the world, it is going to oppose the laws of Allah Ta'ala, then I will give preference to the laws of Allah Ta'ala and not the dunya. If we can just come to that. One friend of mine, he keeps talking about establishing the Shariat. Say, no, no, we have to talk about this. We must establish the Shariat. We must establish the Shariat. We can't, Muslims can't be following a democracy. And what he's saying is 100%, 110%, 200% is correct. But I tell him, let's see, why don't we start with ourselves? Right? So let's go to your shop and let's see everything that is against the Shariat, let's get rid of it. Right? So now when we go to Makkah Mukarramah, Madina Munawara, it's paining us that now they've got ladies in the shops. You go to the hotel, now ladies are checking you in. You go to the haram, now they've got female guards there. Don't we hear these stories? We talk about it that now look at these people. Where's their brains? How can they put female guards here? And how can they have ladies serving us now in the hotel and in the airport and everywhere? So it's only haram for them. Is it only haram for them? But in our shop we got no problem. The ladies we are employing also, ladies. So why are we doing it? In our madrasa, there's no parda between Mauli Sahab and Apa. Why are we doing it? So we have to think also that, you see, it's easy to recognize a wrong when somebody else is doing it. But when I'm doing the same wrong, I can't see it. I can't see the wrong. I will justify it when I'm doing it. Somebody else is doing it. Bokharab. Very bad. How can they do like this? How can... But if I'm doing it, I will make excuses. If I'm taking my daughter and I'm putting her in the university, so what difference is there between me and MBS? Why am I putting her in the university? Isn't she going to end up working in some public space? That's exactly what MBS is doing. So I'm in the same boat as him. If I was the ruler of Saudi, I would have been doing the same thing. He got the same worry, what's going to happen to all these ladies, right? So we got the same worry, what's going to happen to my daughters? So are we not arka? Are we same now? So we have to think and think deep. See, understand something. If something is legal, doesn't mean it's permissible. Something can be legal under the constitution of the country. That doesn't mean it's permissible. If under the constitution of the country, you can get involved in interest-bearing what you call transaction, does that make it permissible? It can be legal in the country. But it's not permissible in the deen. So we have to stop looking at what is legal. We have to look at what is permissible. See, Qurbani is coming now. Let the SPCA come to the farm where we're doing Qurbani, the SPCA pitches up. So SPCA got their regulations. They say, after you slaughter the sheep, it has to bleed for a certain amount of time. So you can't start your skinning, you can't do nothing. Now Hazrat over there is busy minting it, he is oversubscribed more sheep than he can slaughter in that many hours, and he wants to push it now. He had a good bumper Qurbani. So now he wants to push the animals. So he is pushing it now. Why the slaughtering like, come hang this one up, start skinning and going. Now SPCA came. Now that fellow is standing there and he's inspecting and he got his stopwatch. No, sorry, that one is still bleeding. Now even if there's one customer there who's in a hurry, now the owner of the farm, As far as I know, take it easy. As far as I am. So, we will comply with the command. If some customer comes there and he doesn't want to comply with what the SPCA is doing, will the owner of the farm tell the SPCA official that, we're chatting them now, they don't want to listen? No. It will be enforced. That owner of the farm, he's worried they mustn't close me up. I mustn't get a fine. So he will make sure that everybody listens. You can be motahu, gorahu. Everybody have to listen because now SPCA is here. But when it comes to parda on the farm, then speak to the owner of the farm. He'll tell you, no, Mona, what can we do now? We're putting the thing there, no? We both put up signs, no? We told, no, what we can do. There we won't enforce it with a hammer. And if you know year in, year out, this guna is happening in my farm, why you don't stop selling kurmani anymore? If year in, year out, the same guna is happening on my farm, why you never stop? Why you never become selective over your customers? Why you don't have a clause there when they're coming to buy from you and they're saying you want to use your facility? Why you don't tell them, well, these are my conditions here if you want to come use my facility. You're not happy? Take your money, go elsewhere. But I don't want to be answerable by Allah Pak. I don't want my place to be used for Allah Ta'ala's law to break. What do is sweet? See, the money is sweet. What is the money? It's dunya. Money is important, we need it. It's khair. Ni'mal mal. We need it. But we don't need it. We don't need it to this extent that we allow for Allah's laws to break in order to get it. If I have to break Allah Ta'ala's laws in order to earn this, I rather not earn it. Sometimes a person is in a job, right, with a family or the boss or whatever. Whole time he's making ghibat about them. He feels they're oppressing him. Right? So whole time he's making ghibat about them. Any person, one friend, he must just find. Like this and like that. And that person who's working there is like this. And this one is like that. And they're not treating me fair and all that. So if he is so unhappy for years and years, and they're oppressing him, and they're not doing things a dini way and all that, how come he's still in that job? How come he's still sitting there? Why didn't he find something else, even if he was going to earn a little bit less, but his expenses can come out? See, Maulana Khalid Ahmad Saharampuri Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, I don't know whether it was his uncle, one of his seniors, right? Also an alim. He was teaching in a certain place. He was getting paid 100 rupees a month. Okay? So they called him to come and teach in Dioban. His sheikh, his asatiza, they called him to come teach in Dioban. The salary in Dioban was 30 rupees a month. But because of the benefit he was going to get, being near his asatiza and his sheikh, he left that 100 rupees and he took 30 rupees. So as long as my necessities can come out in this 30 rupees, no problem. While he was teaching there, he went to visit Bhopal. In Bhopal, one Darul Uloom, they wanted him to stay there. They told him, no, you teach here. they gave him a salary offer of 300 rupees, 10 times what he was earning in Deoband. 3 times more than what he was earning in his previous employment before Deoband. Right? He told them, I left a khidmat where I was getting paid 100 rupees to go and make khidmat in Deoband for 30 rupees. You think I'm going to accept your 300 rupees? So he never accepted. Eventually, when they realized that, you know what, they're trying all this way, that way, trying to entice him. When they realized that he won't take it, so they told him, all right, send us somebody. So he went and made Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sarampuri Sahib's tashkeer. Now, he was still young at that time. When he came here with the instruction of his sheikh, Maulana Gangohi, they told him to go. So when he went there, now they're offering him the package. So he told them, see here, I only need 50 rupees. I don't need more than that. I only need 50 rupees. So these ulama, they walked the walk. That's why we refer to them so much. That's why we refer to them so much. And despite doing things like that, they still refer to themselves, Hum dunya ke kutte hai. So, you know, we are the dogs of the world. We are dogs of the world because we're still taking salaries. Despite the qurbani they were making, but that's what they thought of themselves. So they showed us practically that the objective of our life is not just to accumulate, to get more. The other day I was listening to Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib, Muhammad Ilyas Patel, our Hazrat Rahmatullah's brother. He was talking about his marhuma sister who was married here in Pietermaritzburg to Brother Dawood Desai. So he mentioned something really thought-provoking for us. If you haven't listened to that talk, listen to it. And don't only listen to it to make your wife hear. Listen to it for us. He mentioned that his sister got married 41 years ago. When she went into that house, they showed her a two-door cupboard. A two-door cupboard. This is your cupboard. So she put her belongings in that cupboard. 41 years later, that same two-door cupboard, not a new two-door cupboard, that very same one that she put her goods into 41 years ago, that same two-door cupboard is what she used for her entire marriage, and her entire belongings fitted in that two-door cupboard. When she passed away, she had only one sandal. One sandal. No other footwear, just one sandal. In her whole marriage life, she bought only one handbag. One handbag she bought in her marriage life. Now, why she could survive with only one handbag? Is because she made amal on waqarna fi buyutikun. She wasn't coming out of the house. The last time she used the handbag was in 2018. So they lived the thing. That we're not here to amass, to accumulate. The world is not our objective. Today we can't go in jihad. We mustn't bluff ourselves. Say, no, we must talk about jihad and this. We can't go in jihad because we are stuck to the world. We stuck to the world. That's why we can't go. We have to remove that world from us first. Allah Ta'ala is making in so many places the world is destroyed. Allah is showing us how fickle this world is. showing us a small namuna of qiyamah. That don't fall in love with this thing. See how easily it is destroyed. But our heart is still stuck in it. The last thing I'm going to mention to you before Isha, I mentioned this in the Monday night, or was it in the Jummah? You see, Qurbani is coming, everybody's looking for Qurbani animals and all that, which is a very good thing. Those who have got Nisab, it's wajib, we have to find the animals. One thing that is happening in the name of Qurbani, Maulana Ijazab also spoke about this in one majlis recently, is all these fairs, which are very unfair. They're having these fairs. Some of them are going late into the night. I don't know what animals they're seeing so late in the night. Two-legged, four-legged, what kind of animals? All are parading. Some are in the kraal, some are out of the kraal. All are parading. And you know what's the sad thing? Dari walas, kurta walas, parda walis, alimas, alims, tablighi sahab, khankai sahab, sufi sahab, all there. Because you see, we can't go movies now. Because everybody is, you know, how? This fellow is in the khankar, you know, this Jalalabad topi, he went movies. It's a problem. He's teaching in the dark room, even movies. We can't go for musical concerts, but that nafs wants entertainment. So this is an easy one now. You know, Qurbani animals, right? A shock for Qurbani. But the underlying thing is entertainment. We too want to have our own entertainment. And some are gone on a heavy scale, right? They're looking, come for Qurbani animals, but they got clowns walking around, painting the children's faces, rides, all in the name of Qurbani. Is this Qurbani? Is this looking for Qurbani animals? Pop-ups. Is this looking for Qurbani animals? So, we mustn't go for these things. The people that are organizing these things, every year is coming out bigger and better. Why? Because we're patronizing it. The people that are organizing it, how bad it is a reflection on our condition as an ummah. Kuffar don't go to buy Qurbani animals, bhai. So if we as an ummah, we said we don't want this thing, we're not going. Will they have it next year? They won't have it next year. Because there's so much expense they made to make the thing and nobody came. But when they have these things, the entry gets so packed, you think they're demolishing another bridge. Waki! There's a traffic jam when they have these things. That's how much the ummah is going. Would they, ladies, daughters, everybody is all parading there. So we mustn't go for these things. You're looking for a Qurbani animal, go find a Qurbani animal. Why you must go in the stalls and pop-ups and spend till so late there and all that? What job we got there? And if they're having that kind of atmosphere, don't buy Qurbani animal from there. Why must even go there? Don't go there. What is the difference between the royal show and the Qurbani fair? Just the name. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, your name is a signboard. Now if a person got a clothing store written there and you go inside and he sweets, we say you're a pagal. So here they got Qurbani name and inside is haram. The only thing we're making Qurbani of is our deen. So we mustn't go there. The second thing is that, you know, Qurbani is a simple thing. I mentioned this in the Jummah. Qurbani is a very simple thing. Allah Ta'ala has only commanded us that if you got nisab, you have to do one Qurbani. Right? So, one sheep will do, one goat will do, or one share in a big animal will do. If a person wants to do more, out of love for Allah Ta'ala, by all means. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did 100 camels on one Eid. 100 camels he did on one Eid. So you want to do more? Alhamdulillah. No problem at all. So what is happening to us today? The other day, one friend of mine, he does this Qurbani and all that. So he was telling me, he said, Moana, I went to one farm and I'm looking for sheep. So you know what the person is telling me? He said, no. These sheep here, they got New Zealand genetics. Now, since when all that became a factor for Qurbani? Now, people before used to advertise cattle. So any cow, any kind, don't be like the Bani Israel. Don't be like the Bani Israel. No, what age, what color, what kind, what this. We're going to make life difficult for ourselves. We're going to make life difficult for ourselves. Qurbani will start becoming unaffordable. And you see, the status thing is a bo kharab. Right? I mentioned this in a Jummah Bayan. Wallahi, I know of a person, and there's not only one like this. He used to go with his group of friends every year for Umrah. One year his business wasn't doing well. But now the friends are going. Now they phoned him up. Hey, bhai, we booked for you. You're on this year. Right? So now your status, you see. Status. Now I can't drop now. I can't drop. Now how am I going to tell them I'm battling this year? I haven't got the money to go. So, yeah, no. Do it. I'm coming. Now I must know all wealthy people. Now what kind of package they're going to book also. I'm telling you, he swiped his credit card. He paid interest to go for Umrah. He swiped his credit card not on a street. He swiped on a budget. 9 months or 12 months to pay or whatever. He was paying interest just to go for Umrah. Not because he wanted to go for Umrah. He can't drop, the status can't fall. Now this is what we are going to do in the Ummah. Move away from this thing, we are being made fools. Made fools. No. This bull here is an Angus. You must only slaughter this thing, the meat is the best. Now you a little bit, you want the Rolls Royce, now we got a Wagyu for you. Next year they'll come out with something else. Wagyu is not going to be the end of it, boy. Wagyu is not going to be the end of it. Everybody thought Angus was the best. Then they came out with Wagyu. Just let the people now get comfortable with the Wagyu. Then after that they're going to come out with Wagyu's granddaughter. So they will keep coming out with things and they'll keep pushing the price up. Now when a person goes into this chakkar, right? I must have that big ram. Big ram. Now whether he can afford, whether he can't afford, go and speak to the people who are doing Qurbani. They will tell you how many people, they took Qurbani animal last year, they never paid till this year. And now everybody knows that this Seth Saab, yeah, he does that 1 ton. The ton is his one. Now the year he can't afford that ton. Now he's embarrassed now. Now he has to do it by hook or by crook. And why are we making it difficult on ourselves? Allah didn't put these things on us. That you have to do like this. And you now the animal now geared you. Now where are you gonna slice? Where are you gonna slice now? Because that fellow, when he's slicing now, he can give you this cut, that cut. By people are charging up to 5,000, 6,000 rand to slice your animal. What are we doing with Qurbani? What are we doing with Qurbani? I remember the days we slaughtered Qurbani animal the same day that animal is distributed. There was no butchers hanging your carcasses for you. The same day the animal was cut up, you went, somebody, they just pulled out the steaks and gave it to you back. You were just cutting with your hands and you were wrapping the thing in a paper and going and distributing. Today, we're slaughtering Wagyu, Angus, then it has to be this color Angus, has to be that color Angus, has to be this breed, have to be that breed, but we're eating chicken biryani. So much this thing about, I must have that goat, I must have this kind of sheep, I must have New Zealand. Now, first time I heard about this New Zealand genetics. Now this genetic, that genetic. But what we eating? We eating chicken biryani. So let us not get caught up in this thing. You see, you must think little bit long term. Think little bit long term. Right? All this thing is just becoming like a commercialized thing. That's not what Qurbani was about. And these farms where you're going to go there, I'm mentioning this to you again. If you don't have a facility to slaughter a big animal, and now you have to go to a farm, and you know that sab kuch andar maskan andar, photography is happening there, you can't stop the people. Photography is happening, women are all, you know, mixing up, everything is happening there. Why do you want to do that bull? For what? Buy a sheep, take it in your backyard and slaughter it. Your qurbani is done. You want to do more sheep, your qurbani is done. Yeah, if you got a facility, you got your place, you got the know-how, right? And you want to slaughter a big animal, alhamdulillah. Or you got a farm where they are doing strictly, properly, parda, everything is taken care of, nurun ala nur. But if they don't have the facility, then who made it farz on you to slaughter the bull? What is the sense? You want that breed, you paying that dollar, that kind slicing, and you're getting involved in so much of guna on the day of Eid. Does it make sense? The taqwa is what reaches Allah, not the marbling of the steak. The marbling of the steak don't reach Allah. The cuts don't reach Allah. How it came packaged don't reach Allah. What reaches Allah is our taqwa. Allah Ta'ala give me first tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala grant the entire ummah tawfiq. So azan will go now, 20 past inshallah will be jamaat. After Isha, we will read our surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, surah Mulk, and then we will go for meals. Then at 8:45, I know I said kapasit, but now we went a little bit later now. So, 8:45, inshallah, we'll continue with the program. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.